Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking about the second verse of that song. Let me find it. There it is. That second verse says, "We've all searched for the light in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right when there's a better life. There is a better life. There is a better life. There is a better life." Now, I don't know about you, but when we've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night, when we all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight, boy, that says something right there. Because I'm telling you what, I am so excited for Tuesday. Not because I'm excited about either one getting the presidency. I'm just tired. I'm just ready for it to be over. I'm so sick of these news ads and things. I'm sick of it. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't go out and vote. It means you should. And I was telling somebody, it's the first time that I can remember, and I'm a young man. Yeah, I like that. I'm a young man. But it's the first time that I can say that this election is not about who we support. It's about what we're against. Because I don't like either one of them. But it's about what we're against more than what we're for. But I've come by to give you the election results early. Oh, boy, Pastor, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to start prophesying or something? Yeah, I'm going to prophesy. Now, here's what the Bible said. That if somebody prophesies and it doesn't come to pass, then the people should take him out and stone him. Boy, now nobody want to talk about that, do they? But I come by to prophesy the election results. On Wednesday morning, Jesus will still be on the throne. On Wednesday morning, when everything's said and done, Jesus is still King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he's still my God. So quit tripping out and flipping out and understand that, yes, you are to do your duty and your obligation, and that is to get out and vote. Millions and millions of Christians didn't vote in the last election. That's all I'm going to say. Get out and vote. I don't care who you're for, but get out and vote. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to make a mistake. Trust me, with these two, you're going to make a mistake. But that's what we got to work with. Amen? So get out and vote for what is close, what you stand for. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning. Go with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. I want to talk to you this morning that's simply entitled, "The Squeeze is On." The squeeze is on. Let me just say, it is so good to see some of you that I've never seen in the 8:30 service. And I'm thinking it's because you got an extra hour sleep. For some of you, you still come to the 9 o'clock service. Isn't that right, April? But anyway, what's the 9 o'clock service? It's the 8:30 service without the music. No, don't try that. Come to the 8:30 service. 1 Samuel chapter 22. When you get there, say amen. If you're not even going to really try to find it in your Bible, you're just going to look up here, go ahead. All right. That's what I thought. "David, therefore, departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him." Where? In the cave. And everyone who was, I want you to understand, this is what our text is. Everyone who was distressed, everyone who is in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them. Well, that sounds like America. Everybody who's in debt, distress, and discontented. And there were about 400 men with him. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me." So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold, which was the cave of Adullam. Now that's important for you to understand that the cave of Adullam was also called a stronghold. Now the prophet of Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go to the land of Judah." So David departed and went to the forest of Herith. Father, I pray that you would bless your word today. God, I pray that you would grant me that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a mind to receive your word, that transformation might happen in our lives, in Jesus' name. And the church said, I've always liked David. David is one of my favorite characters. Why? Because David has issues. That's one of the reasons I like David. I'm glad the Bible is not filled with people that doesn't have issues. That the Bible is filled with people who are messed up, beat up, and that's the kind of people that God uses, and because that's all he's got to work with is folks who are messed up. Amen? Look at your neighbor, say you're in that category. He is as many of your, one of the heroes in the Bible, David. But what I like about David is David the shepherd, David the singer, David the soldier, David the sinner, David the sovereign king. So a number of people can be used as examples in God's word of different situations and people. But most, though, are confined to only one kind of circumstances. Like Abraham, we know about faith, and Solomon, wisdom, and Peter, his zeal and enthusiasm, and Samson, his strength. But David was involved in so much that any subject that you want to approach, you could use him as an example of that character. Because he was all over the place. He was high, he was low. But David was involved. And success after trial and victors, or victory after defeat, seems to be the theme of David's life. David would go through a battle, he would come out the victor. And then David would go through a victory and then right back into a trial. And then he would come out of that trial and be victorious and triumphant. And one thing that I love about David, though, is David knew how to repent. David knew how to get on his face before God and say, "God, I have messed up." Something that we haven't yet quite figured out. Because David used to call his issues sin. Now we just call them issues. We just call it what it is. Now, we've made our issues pretty. We've tried to make our sin pretty, and we'd give them names so that it doesn't bother us as much. But among many of the triumphant stories of David's life, there were a very interesting one that I found that I preached on several times in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 8 through 11. And it is the story when the Philistines learned that David had been anointed king, and they went down to fight him. And he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told him to go out against him, and he named the place Baal Perazim, which means the place of breakthrough. Now, I like those places and the shout that goes with those places of breakthrough. How many likes the breakthrough? I like to shout about the breakthrough. I like to sing about the breakthrough. I like to dance about the breakthrough. I like to testify about the breakthrough. Because I like those places. Pay increase, shout. You pay off a bill, shout. Kids doing well in school, shout. Harmony among the husband and wife, shout now. Church doing well, shout. But there was another place that David occupied first before he occupied Baal Perazim, the place of breakthrough, and that is the cave of Adullam, which is called the place of the squeeze. He was in the cave of Adullam before he got the breakthrough. He was in the place of the squeeze. Now, I didn't make this up. The cave of Adullam, if you look it up, literally means the place of the squeeze. And can I just tell you that when you and I are squeezed, whatever is in us is going to come out of us. If you squeeze an orange, you don't expect apple juice to come out. You know that orange juice is going to come out. However, when Christians are squeezed, I'm not sure what's going to come out. I can tell you this, what will come out is whatever you're full of. Nobody going to help me up in here today. Whatever is you're full of is going to come out. If you're full of junk, junk's going to come out. If you're full of doubt, doubt's going to come out. If you're full of mess, mess is going to come out, whatever you want to call it. If you're full of just bull, bull is going to come out. But if you're full of faith, faith is going to come out. If you're full of anointing, anointing is going to come out. Whatever you're full of is what's going to flow when you're in the place of the squeeze. Good preaching, Pastor. But let's talk about the strange events. Point number one for those of you taking notes. The strange events surrounding David's life. Now here he is, a man that's been anointed king, but the anointing is for an appointing. The anointment is for an appointment. That there is a time between the anointing and the fulfillment of the appointment. And that's where many of us get into trouble. When the Lord gives us a word, a promise, a prophecy, but yet we have yet to fulfill or see it come to fruition. But here David is a man on the run because he ran because Saul got jealous and began to seek his life. Isn't it hard? Isn't it horrible when there's somebody that's occupying the place you know God wants you and they hate you? But yet you can't do nothing about it. But you better be careful how you treat them because you don't want God to remove the anointing off of your life. Oh, somebody needs to hear me. But because of what he did, he's a man on the run, forced to flee and leave everything behind. Don't tell me the anointing won't cost you. The anointing will cost you something. If you're going to be the head of something, there's going to be some cost involved. Saul, the king, wants him dead. There's another story where he's running for his life. He goes to the Philistines, lies to the priest to get bread. He fakes insanity. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Because he says, I just want to die. Then he gets before the king and fakes insanity. Scribbles on the walls and drools all over himself. And the king said he must be mad. And then that's what he wanted. They let him go. He's fragmented. We're talking about David. Wait a minute. Are we talking about the same guy who had the breakthrough? Yeah. But we're talking about the place where he was before the breakthrough. See, some of you only look at other people at the point of their breakthrough, but you didn't see them in the king's court having to act like they was crazy. You didn't see them on their knees at night when they thought they was about to lose it all. You didn't see the sacrifice that happened, but how they made it through. All you see now is their shout, and you see their dance, and you don't know how they made it through. Well, there was a place of the squeeze long before the breakthrough came. Here is a man who's fragmented and frustrated. Am I talking to anybody this morning? So what does he do? He moves willingly into a cave. He moves into a cave. He moves into the place of the squeeze. Now, a cave is not a place where you're to live. Give me point number two, Liz. What is the purpose of a cave? I'm so glad you asked. Because the purpose of a cave is not to live. The purpose of a cave is where you bury something. The place of the cave is not where you're supposed to dwell. It's not intended as a place of encouragement. It is a place where it is gloomy. It is depressing. And some of you are there right now. That you're in a cave, just nobody else knows it but you. You're in a place of the squeeze, and everybody looking at you thinks that you're okay, but only you know where you're at and where you're living. I'm not talking about a literal place. I'm talking about a place in your mind. A place in your emotion, a place in your spirit that you're not in, that you come to church and you put on your smile and you put on your church clothes and you put on your church cliches, but yet on the inside, you're at the place of the squeeze, you're at the place of discouragement, you're at the place of frustration, and you're not sure what to do about it, but you know that you're in the cave. The cave is where you bury the dead. And some of us moved in there just to get out of the rain. Some of us moved in there to get out of the turmoil. Some of us moved in there just to get out of the trouble and the trial. And if we will just close ourselves off, maybe the rest of the world will leave us alone. But it's not going to happen that way, because the power of hell wants to destroy you. The power of hell wants to kill you. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. The devil wants to kill you in your cave. The devil wants to bury you in that cave. But let me just go ahead and tell you, the cave is the place where you bury the dead. And I've come by to tell somebody that you're coming out of Adullam today, that you're coming out of the place of the squeeze today, and you're going to bury those things that tried to bury you in the name of Jesus. Hey! My God, somebody hear me. But let's talk about who went with him. He was at the place of the squeeze. Point number three. 400 with him. Who were they? We're the same ones of the people who you would think that would want to move into a cave. It's not the bright and cheery people. It's not that has those that have everything going for them that wants to go into a cave. You know, every once in a while, this was many, 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 many years ago, I had a group of church people. And listen, church people are good. Not all, but most church people are good. And these church people were good, but they were misguided. And they came by one day and said, Pastor, you want to go with us? We're going to go stir up the devil. I said, y'all go ahead. Count me out. Because I know if I just do what I'm called to do, I'm going to stir up the devil. I ain't got to do anything else extra to stir up the devil. I ain't going to go looking for trouble. Come on, somebody. Because trouble looks for me. Come on, his name is the enemy. But let's talk about it. Our text said that the 400 that were with him were those in doubt. The people who doubted. So when you start doubting, that's when you go to the... When you start doubting, you go to the cave, the place of the squeeze. Those that were disillusioned with Saul. No, I'm not yet there yet. Go back. Those in doubt, disillusioned with Saul. Intimidation had set in. And intimidation never comes at harvest, but always at seed time. When you should be planting. Oh my God, let me just hit this. That depression doesn't come in when you look out over your fields and they're ready to be harvested. You see the crop there. You see the produce of what you've been working for. You don't get depressed at that time. You don't begin to doubt at the time of when everything is ready to be harvested, because you know you can see it with your eyes. No, it always comes at seed time, when you look at all you got is seed, and if you bury and plant your seed, you're wondering if you will have any harvest left. Huh? Pray for my daughter. Well, I don't know if I can pray for yours. Did you see mine? Mine's acting like a hoodlum. I want to kill her and tell God she died. Come on, somebody. And it's hard to pray for somebody else when that's all you see is doubt. I took a guy with me to the hospital. He still goes to the church. He'll be in the 11 o'clock service, I think. I took him with me to the hospital one day to visit somebody. And I realized after that one visit, his ministry was not hospital visitation. Because matter of fact, the boy we went to visit was there, is in here. And he was having an appendicitis. And we walked in to check on him. And the mother was all upset because she thought he was faking and didn't want to take him to the hospital. And then this guy with me, we come in to check on him. He goes, well, I'll tell you right now, it's good that you got him here. He could have died. The mother was already upset. Oh, I know. Well, I'll tell you, my cousin died from this. Y'all, it's a good thing. I don't know if you remember that, Jamel. I had to tell him, chill out, dude. You don't need to be telling him. Maybe it wasn't Jimmy. It was somebody in that family, though. Anyway, I said, you can't be saying that. And so I realized that that's not his calling. Walked into another room. Woo! They were sitting up there sick, done got hurt, and man, you look like you've been hit by a bus. We just come to encourage you. I knew at that moment in time that hospital ministry was not his calling. Woo! Well, what happened to you? And they told him, well, I'll tell you, I had a cousin happen, had to cut his arm off. You're lucky. Those are the type of people that went into the cave. Here David is just trying to have some alone time, and then here comes the doubters and the pouters. Satan is terrified of your harvest. My God, let me say that again. He's terrified of your harvest. He's not scared of when you seed. He's scared of your harvest. But he knows if you ever plant it, then there's got to be a harvest, because God said that heaven and earth will pass away. But as long as there is heaven and earth, there shall be seed time and harvest. That means that there's a time to plant, but there's a time to harvest. And what the devil wants to do is make you go into the cave before you ever have the opportunity to plant the seed. What the devil wants to do is to cause you to give up before you ever get up. He wants you to give up before you ever have the chance to get out on the other side. But I've come by to tell you that the devil is a liar. I've come by to tell you that the place of the squeeze is not your home. It is not where I'm going to dwell. I might be there right now, but I'm coming out in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? In our day and time, You are considered to be an intellectual if you believe your doubts and doubt your beliefs. The devil's a liar. If becomes a fragmented word used in your vocabulary. Doubt. Those are the people who came to where David was. So those in doubt, and then secondly, those in distress. Those in distress. Distress is basic discouragement. Those who are discouraged. You ever get a bunch of discouraged people together? My God, that is a good time, isn't it? You ever had a preacher preach to you that's discouraged? Oh, I have. And I'm like, hey, you want me to take the mic because you're killing me. You ever get somebody up and you say, well, oh, yo, it's bad. It's bad. Oh. You know, we get that on Facebook all the time. I've seen people from both sides say, if this one's elected, they're moving out. There's a few, I want to give them a $50 to help them. Amen. But you know what? Now we laugh at some of those, but the reality is some of us use God that way. Well, God, if I don't get my way, I'm gonna move. I'm leaving the country. The country of heaven, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. You know, listen. I'm going to do my part. And that's why I tell you to do your part. I already went and voted. I'm like some of the politicians. You need to get out and vote early and often. Now, that's funny depending on who you like and not. So, anyway. But squirrel. Let's crack myself up sometimes, you know. So anyway, but I don't care. They could not they you because I ain't going to. You could vote in Omar Gaddafi, who's dead right now. But anyway, I think isn't he dead? Omar? Yeah, he's dead. If he's not, he should be. But anyway. You could vote in whoever you want to. I'm not leaving America. It's still the greatest nation on the planet. All right? Now, and you can vote in who you want to, and I'm still going to support our troops. And I'm still going to usually carry a gun. But anyway, that's a whole other story. However, I'm like Job in the kingdom of God. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Lord, it doesn't matter what you do anymore. I know that I'm saved. And no matter what I pray for, whether it comes to pass or not, I'm not leaving the kingdom of heaven because I know that there's coming a day when the trump of God shall sound in the east and the dead in Christ shall rise first and those that remain will be caught up together with them in the air. And I know that I'm going to be in that number so you can get depressed and discouraged all you want to, but I'm not leaving the country of heaven. I'm not leaving the kingdom of God, no matter what comes my way. Distressed. It's like having the breath knocked out of you. You're surrounded by trouble. What do you do? What do you do? Stop and think. Pause and breathe. And remember God. Did you hear me? Stop and think. Pause and breathe and remember God. Choose to believe the word of God in spite of anything else. The word of God. I got to hurry. Those that are in debt, there is no squeeze like debt. Woo. If you've ever been in debt, then you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Huh. It's taken me many years, but I've been coming out. Hallelujah. But debt will cripple you. God desires to free you from the bondage of debt because the word of God says that the borrower is servant to the lender. All right? It's interesting, though, that such a modern problem perplexed people thousands of years ago. See, debt ain't something new. Doubt ain't something new. Discouragement, distress is not something new. It perplexed them then. And then the last is those that were discontented. Those that were in doubt, those that were in distress, those that were in debt, and those that were discontented. A major tool of the enemy is discontentment. Well, what is discontentment? You have every reason to be happy, but you're not. Let me say it one more time. You got every reason to be happy, but you're not. Pastor, you don't know nothing about that. Yeah, I do. I know something about every one of these I'm preaching on this morning. I know what it is to everything be going good in your life but still not be happy. I know what everything's going right in your life but you still ain't happy. Because discontentment, some have hated their jobs for 30 years. Been the same job for 30 years, you hated every day of it. That's like when I run, you know, I jog or jolt. It's a jog plus kind of a walk, so I don't want to discount running, so I jog. And I've been doing it now for about 4 years. And we got some runners in here and they always say, "Oh, Pastor, if you run for a few months, you'll start loving it. I hate every time I get out there. I hate every step. I hate every piece of sweat. I hate it." Then why do you do it? Because I want to stay young. And I like chocolate a lot. Because chocolate makes me happy. Those that are discontented. Discontentment makes good food taste bad. Discontentment makes a beautiful marriage seem dreary, drab, and dull. Discontentment makes a church service seem long and boring. But one trip out of the cave will change all of that. So old David went down to Moab. Now here's where it gets good. I'm bringing it in. I'm bringing it down. I'm circling the airport. David goes to Moab. Now look at what David had. He had a bunch of doubters, bunch of distressed, a bunch of folks in debt, and those that were discontented. He had those type of people in there. I don't know about you, but I'd want to break too. I'd want to get out of there too. But he went to the king of Moab. He went to the wrong place. David goes to Moab, and remember that Moab in the Bible is a type of sin. Because that's where it leads you. You go to the place of the squeeze, and then eventually you'll begin to grasp at anything to try to make yourself feel better. You'll begin to say things like, "I deserve this. I am entitled to this." And you begin to reach for wrong things instead of right things. You begin to reach for things that you know ain't right, but there's a better life. There's a better life. Come on, somebody. You begin to reach for things. That's what David did. David went to Moab. But here's what I'm glad about. Is that even when David went to Moab, he ran into a prophet. You have no idea where the Lord is going to send somebody to speak to you. You don't know. Don't be upset or enraged when you don't want to talk, but somebody rushes you down. When somebody slow walks you down and begins to talk to you. Because here's what it said. The prophet of Gad, the Bible said the prophet Gad instructed him, number 5, to go to Judah. David, then God's to Judah. No idea what I was supposed to put there. David went to Judah. Maybe it's then David then goes to Judah. I think that's what it's supposed to say. Then David goes to Judah. I did that. Liz didn't do that. Then David goes to Judah. Thank God, because a prophet of God told him, "Get out of the place where you're dwelling and go to Judah. Now, for those of you who know a little bit of Hebrew and Greek, I don't know a lot, but I know a little bit because I have a computer. And I can research those things. That I know that Judah means praise. He said, get out of the cave and go to Judah. Judah means praise, and praise will bring you out of the cave, away from the place of the squeeze. Oh, somebody needs to shout right there. If you're trying to get out, if you're trying to get out of the place of squeeze, quit talking to everybody. Quit going to this place and that place, but go to the place of praise. Begin to give God praise even in the midst of your situation. In the midst of you being discouraged and discontented and disillusioned and doubtful and in debt, begin to give God praise. Wait. The prophet said, get out of your stronghold. Now that's important, because the place of the squeeze is a stronghold that you can't decide to come in and out. Because it's a stronghold, which means it wasn't easy to get in, and it ain't easy to come out. Oh, you ain't hearing me. Come on, stand to your feet. It's not easy to go in, and it's not easy to come out. But I believe with everything that's in me that today God is saying, come out. I want you to go to that chain breaker song in that second verse. Right where you are. Here's what I know. I know what it is to stand beside somebody that you know and love, but you be in the place of the squeeze and they don't even know it. My God, somebody hear me. I know what it is to get up behind the pulpit and preach a sermon, but yet you yourself being in the place of the squeeze. I know what it is to lead worship and be in the place of the squeeze. But here's the difference. I can't lead worship without going to Judah. So when I begin to lead worship, some things begin to break off of you. The stronghold that you're in begins to become down, and you see a way clear, and you see a way out, and you begin to realize that there is a better life, that there is a better life, that God did not call you to live in a dilapidated state in the place of the squeeze. God didn't call you to live in a cave, to live in discouragement, to live in distress, to live in doubt, to live in debt. He called you to live in victory. He called you to live the overcoming life. Come on. Come on. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hey. All right, I'm supposed to be done. Our family focus hour is starting. I'm supposed to be done. So here's what we're going to do. If I did what I wanted to do, I'd lay hands on everybody in this place, but I won't do that. Here's what I want us to do. They're going to sing this song again. And if you've been in that place of the squeeze, I don't care if you've been in one of them or all of them, I just want you to throw up your hand and begin to praise God and begin to see yourself coming out. See yourself whole. See yourself. My God, see yourself coming out. Come on, do it. Do it. Dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. You need.
If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.